This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. It's the 21st of August, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank with Eric Pfeiffer and Sabrina Halverson on board for the news today, including reaction from Indiana Farm Bureau to a just-released 10-year study on Indiana water and some shipping issues dating back to COVID that remain today. The HAT podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com, their website to learn more. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's forecast continues almost entirely dry through midweek next week. And the Tuesday ag markets quiet and mixed. Arlen Suderman has market analysis coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader,
Carl Jorn,
and Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
A long-anticipated water study just released. And are we still concerned about agricultural shipping? I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. A 10-year study of the Indiana water supply was just completed, and the results were unveiled Monday by the Indiana Chamber of Commerce. Andy Eubank has details.
In short, the findings are that water is plentiful, but the distribution of that water is not even. Andy Tower, Indiana Farm Bureau Executive Director of Public Policy, says they agree with that finding of what's called water policy and planning, a 10-year update.
It does seem that, yes, we do. We are blessed here in Indiana with plentiful water. But as you alluded to, the distribution of that water is where the challenge becomes. You know, and really, it's kind of the northern two-thirds of the state of Indiana where we're really blessed with water. But as we get, especially in that lower third, that is where water distribution or water supply becomes a major challenge. And here in the central part of the state, there's water there, but there's definitely some pockets of some challenge.
Tower says INFB was pleased with recommendations that were outlined to address water distribution.
In terms of the need for, you know, a statewide plan, we need some additional monitoring to really assess and verify the volume of water, the volume of resource that we do have here in Indiana. And so a lot of that aligns with what we've heard from our members and ultimately our internal water task force here at Indiana Farm Bureau.
Indiana Farm Bureau does question a number mentioned in average daily use of Indiana groundwater. Ag irrigation operations were tagged at 23% of the daily average.
And I think that's where we scratch our heads a little bit because we know irrigation wells are seasonal. And in that seasonality, only maybe 30, 45 days of operation. And so those numbers are something that that we'll continue to have conversations with the folks that put the report together, as well as folks at DNR who tracks the high volume or high capacity wells. And see if we can start to pull that information apart. And so that's where we've got a little bit of concern.
Tower says next steps are to wait on remaining studies being done, which should provide clarity on future direction. He expects much of that to be on the table during the 2025 Indiana General Assembly. I'm Andy Eubank. Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
Though the global COVID pandemic officially ended more than a year ago, many of the issues we saw during that time remain, especially when it comes to agricultural shipping. Sabrina Halverson speaks with an expert on the issue.
Supply chain issues have persisted since COVID, and Tiffany Compress, a partner at Pearson Ferdinand Law Firm with experience in agricultural shipping, believes the next few months will be tight.
But a big question, at least in my mind, is having seen what happened during COVID, are the ocean carriers going to take a little bit of responsibility this time for upholding their end of the business bargain? And my answer, at least tentatively, is I doubt it. They had record profits, even though they're just saying, oh my God, things are so tight. And every excuse to add a new fee was certainly, you know, they certainly took advantage of each one of those. Congestion charges, you know, all kinds of things. Even people that had steady shipping contracts saw their prices soar.
She says that's just not how the system is supposed to work.
And then there's the other side, which is about kind of avoiding and dealing with issues when they do arise. And I'm hoping that all parties learned from COVID and prepared for this possibility in their contracts. First of all, that they have contracts, because many of them didn't. And that those that did added terms to deal with these potential issues instead of just letting it up to chance.
Overall, she says there were many lessons learned during COVID, but if the information sticks, remains to be seen. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
More farm news anytime at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmers' stories at FCMA.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey farmers, do you want to see weeding tools before you buy them? Learn how to adjust cultivators and see what's new in weeding tools? Then make plans today to attend the Midwest Weed Control Field Day, September 11th at Purdue's Miggs Horticultural Research Farm in Lafayette, Indiana. Enjoy weeding tool demos of all scales, a morning trade show, and cultivation education for vegetables and row crops. Register online early to guarantee your spot and lunch. Search Midwest Mechanical at thelandconnection.org. That's thelandconnection.org.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. No major changes in thought process here. We continue to have a fully dry forecast now through basically midweek next week. Now, if you want to throw anything at me and say, Ryan, what about that day would be Saturday? There is a minor disturbance that is still to our west for the most part, but interacting with so slightly. So if you are in western parts of Indiana, northwestern parts of the state, I won't rule out a pop-up shower to basically start the day on Saturday. But otherwise, we are pretty dry all the way through. That area could breed another thunderstorm or two, northeastern parts of Illinois, northwest Indiana, as we move through Sunday midday. There's just a little bit of a disturbance in there with some warmer, more moist air trying to come up from the south and southwest. So keep an eye on that, but otherwise we are dry over the majority of the state all the way into midweek next week. Next Wednesday night, Thursday, a frontal boundary comes through, has a chance at getting moisture into about 80 to 90% of the state of Indiana. However, that front is also dying as it comes through, so I'm not expecting much more than about a quarter of an inch right now. I'll say my range is a quarter to three quarters, just if thunderstorms can hold on in a few spots, but I'm not keen on big moisture late next week. And behind that front, we cool down. Yep, we're going to be cooler as we move into the Labor Day holiday weekend, and we're also going to put together a fairly decent drying window again. No precipitation for Friday the 30th, Saturday the 31st, and then into the rest of the Labor Day holiday weekend. That's the way we're stacking things up here. Again, well below normal precipitation over the next 2 weeks going into early September. Keep an eye on the old soybeans that are trying to work through some key phases right now. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig. Mostly steady corn and soybean markets. Wheat goes about a nickel higher. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday farm market preview on what turned out to be a mixed and quiet day in the markets. We'll have settlements coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis. I checked in with Arlen Suderman for that. He's with StoneX, and we spoke late in trade. Tuesday action, just about everywhere you look, pretty quiet. Equities, crude oil, and the grains and oilseeds, not a whole lot of movement. A nice Monday short covering rally, and on the positive side, Arlen, the markets did not give it all back on Tuesday.
Yeah, the markets are really putting in kind of a possible bottoming action. I want to be careful there what I say. It doesn't mean we put in a low, and typically corn and soybean markets don't confirm a harvest low until the trade is comfortable with the size of the crop. But that's kind of the process we're going through right now. And we started off with day one of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Really, in a couple of our poorer areas of the Midwest, yeah, we've had some weather issues in Ohio where the eastern branch started off, but we've had a lot of problems in southeast South Dakota where the western branch started off and then went into nearby areas in northeastern Nebraska and to some other problem areas where it was extremely wet in June and then pretty dry in July. But overall, those crops looked good. It was just more variable and maybe not quite as good as the trade had been pricing in this big monster crop. That kind of put it then on days two, three, and four, what they would find. And day two has seen some tremendous yield potential, although a few problem areas, but generally confirming big crops. So this market's just kind of chopping sideways right now until it gets a better feel for which way this crop size is going.
And the expectation, I believe, as the week goes on, that we'll continue to see impressive yields. Is that correct?
That's the expectation. On the final day on Thursday, as we get up into far northern Iowa and southern Minnesota, we may get into a few problem areas once again. But I think we've seen the worst of the crops.
So are the markets actually well positioned where they are now?
The market is well positioned now based on what we have seen. What we have not seen is the impact of this mild weather that we've enjoyed for much of the month of August. If you look overall at August average temperatures, especially west of the Mississippi River, where the majority of the Corn Belt exists, it's been in the top quartile of coolest summers or coolest Julys on record out of 132 years of data. That tends to give you larger seed size for corn and for soybeans, as well as higher pod counts, as the soybeans are still setting on pods. And so we very well will likely see yields higher than what the crop tour is currently seeing by the time the combines roll.
But we also do have a stretch, for the most part, across the Corn Belt of dry weather. How does that play out?
Yeah, exactly right. The good news is that cool temperatures tend to reduce crop moisture needs, which will help us get through. We've seen this effect of mild temperatures really help us through dry times, like in 2017 in much of the Midwest. Now, the heat will be coming back late this weekend into early next week, but it will be brief. And so that may take a little bit of the gravy off the top of this crop, but it's still looking to be a big crop.
Market analysis from Arlen Suderman of StoneX and StoneX.com. Settlements now down just a little in corn. September 375, 3 cents lower. Down 2.25 on the Dees at 398. March 1.5 lower, 417.75. Up 1 cent on September beans, 957.25. Unchanged November, 976. January, 994.25, a quarter cent down. September wheat, 4.75 higher at 533. The meats down. October live cattle, 175.60, down 342. and October lean hogs 76.40, 40 cents lower. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.